Hi friends, my name is Lydia and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. At our home, as you can see, we keep Christmas up through New Year's, and this year that just feels right to let the holiday cheer hang on a little bit longer. This is the last Sunday of 2020, and in my opinion, the last anything of 2020 is something worth celebrating. And these past few days, we've been focusing on the birth of Jesus, the day that God was brought into this chaotic, unstable, and noisy world in human form. And you know the story, but did you know that there's actually more to the experience of baby Jesus than just being born in a stable? That shouldn't be surprising to any parents out there. You know how it goes. There's a lot more to the story of the birth of your child than just the hospital visit. Everyone is excited leading up to the birth with parties and showers and questions. And then immediately after the birth, there's the sharing of the birth story and people wanting to see pictures. But then it just kind of gets a little bit more quiet. It starts to drop off. We kind of forget that there is still a lot happening for those new parents, and that the baby in the weeks and months to come is still having a lot of experiences and stories. And it's the same with Jesus. You might not even realize that there is actually a story in the Bible that takes place about 6 weeks after Jesus's birth. So today we're going to turn to Luke chapter 2 and pick up where Jesus is just over a month old. And if you are watching this later, not live, I encourage you, you can pause right now and actually go pick up your Bible, because there's no longer the excuse of, I forgot my Bible at home. You're probably at home right now. You can go grab your Bible and we're going to read it together. So let's do that. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 35. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, that's Mary and Joseph, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in all the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your peoples Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to this mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So Simeon, this man that came in and like literally ripped the baby out of a new mom's arms, I don't know that that would fly with me, but Mary graciously allows Simeon to take her child out of her arms. And we know about Simeon that he lived in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago in a time when people were looking for the Messiah, the anointed one, the Redeemer, the Savior. The time of the Messiah's arrival was of great, great interest to all of Israel. Scripture revealed that it was close, but not even the wisest students of prophecy could pinpoint the exact date of the Messiah's coming. The anticipation of the Savior's coming, which was such a massive point of national pride and tradition that you could think of it in the way the U.S. observes the 4th of July. But the struggle was, the people didn't know how the Messiah would come. Would he march into Jerusalem with an honor guard? Would he miraculously appear at the temple? Would he descend from heaven in the clouds? People really didn't know. In addition, people didn't really know or understand his nature. Was he God? Was he man? Or was he both? But they knew, the people of Israel knew what the scripture said he would do when he came. They knew that he would restore their country. They knew that he would bring back the people who had been driven away, that he would make the nation safe. He would rule with righteousness. He would bring peace and happiness. So even though people didn't have a clear understanding about the Messiah himself, they looked forward to a better life when he arrived. You see, at the time of the first Christmas, the nation's ruler, Caesar, had just placed a new tax on every household, And so many people were feeling really weighed down by the government's decrees. That might sound a little bit familiar right now. So Jesus is born and he enters the scene, but the majority of the nation looks right past his birth. Only a few understood what was actually happening that first Christmas. And we've talked about that over the season of Advent. But where we pick up in scripture today, we find a 6-week-old baby Jesus being held in the arms of a man named Simeon, a man who has spent his entire life waiting and anticipating for this very moment, a man who has been unbelievably faithful. Imagine just waiting your whole life for a promise to be fulfilled. Or maybe you don't even have to imagine it. Maybe you're living that right now. I think it's really important for us to take a step back and to properly define this word faithful, because I don't know that we have the true definition in our minds when we say that word or when we hear that word. See, faithful means to be true to one's word or promises, to remain loyal and steadfast. What faithful doesn't mean is doing things the way others expect or even necessarily want. Faithful doesn't translate to feel good or what I think is best. Now, people can be really tempted. Maybe you are tempted to look back on this past year of 2020 and say, where was God? He doesn't seem very faithful to me. He either doesn't exist or he's abandoned us. And that's probably because we have the wrong definition of faithful in our minds. We have this really broken theology that I think we're wrestling against in our flesh. See, we operate in a mindset of thinking that God is faithful when things go my way, when things aren't good or don't go the way that I wanted them to, or I think they should, then God isn't faithful. Our lens is extremely broken and limited and skewed. But you look at Simeon and he's this beautiful picture of a life of faithfulness. He has literally spent his days anticipating the fulfillment of a promise. He has waited for the moment when he would be made complete, when he would meet the Savior of the world in the way and in the timing that God deemed best. Hebrews chapter 11 is an incredible chapter. I wish that I had more time to read it to you all in its entirety, because it's all about faith and faithfulness and examples of people who waited on the Lord to fulfill promises. These people who were faithful as they waited, and God was faithful to his word. But I am going to read a brief little part of the chapter starting in verse 13, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, and this is going to be the Message version. Each one of these people of faith, Sarah, Noah, Abraham, and there's lots more, died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transient in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. This is faithful, trusting, remaining steadfast when circumstances around us tell us that we shouldn't be or we don't want to be. If we begin to shift our definition of faithful to the actual biblical one, might we be able to that much easier smile and say, God has been faithful to me. He has been present. He has shown hints of his kindness, given hope and strength. Not he has made everything work out just as I had hoped or made me incredibly happy this year. Something that Simeon's story points out is that faith and waiting are inseparable. You can wait without faith, but you can't have faith without waiting. Waiting is one of the greatest and most universal acts of faith that a Christian can do. You look at Simeon, this man living in Jerusalem, who at some point in his life gets told by the Holy Spirit that he will eventually see the Savior of the world face to face on this side of heaven. And we don't know when in Simeon's journey that happened. It could have been when he was 10. It could have been when he was 60. But either way, Simeon is told something wild and crazy, and he has the audacity to believe it. He believes it so much that one day, however many years later from his encounter with the Holy Spirit, he knows that this is the day, that this is the moment as he's walking through the streets. And so he walks into the temple because it says the Holy Spirit led him into the temple, and he sees a young couple and a newborn baby, and he knows this is it. This is him. And he scoops him up into his arms, and the waiting is over. The promise is fulfilled, and God is faithful. And Simeon sees that God is good to his word. Over the past year, I have a dear friend and an evergreener that has been watching her mom, her mom's health steadily decline, specifically in the area of her memory. And actually, just a few weeks ago, it had finally gotten so bad that the community that her mom has been living in decided that she was going to have to transition to memory care. And despite her mom living locally, just a few miles away, due to the COVID restrictions, my friend Kathy has not been able to see her mom face-to-face for quite some time. Hearing this news, of course, that her mom's dementia had gotten so bad that she was going to have to go to memory care was devastating. Especially because of these intense lockdown restrictions and the nature of the facility right now. I know that questions started running through her mind, like, will I even get to see my mom again before this pandemic is over? And I'm sure many of you can imagine or have walked through something similar, and it's hard to process these difficult experiences, and things feel like a dead end and, frankly, a bit hopeless. But it was so incredible because less than a week later, I felt prompted to call Kathy. And I said, hey, Kathy, how's it going? How are you doing? She said, well, actually, I'm at the hospital right now with my mom. She has some kind of infection. And, you know, while in most cases, that news of a parent being in the hospital would elicit a terrible response, I felt instinctively in that moment, and I told Kathy, and Kathy couldn't agree more, that God was faithful right then and there, because without Flo, her mom, going to the hospital, Kathy wouldn't have been able to see her. Because Kathy was her emergency contact, she was actually able to go to the hospital and spend 3 days with her mom, painting her nails and holding her hand and having conversation. And this infection was treated, and actually she was released to go back home on Thanksgiving Day. And I want to share a picture with you of Kathy and Dave and Flo and their daughter Katie celebrating Thanksgiving under a tent in a park after she'd been released from the hospital before she had to go to the memory care unit. And Kathy said, Mom was so happy. I already know that this will be one of my absolute favorite memories. And this story just shows that God can make a way, that he is faithful. I want you to notice, though, that in this story, this isn't one of some miraculous healing or a diagnosis reverse, although, of course, those things do happen and they should be celebrated. But this is a story of God showing up in the small and yet significant ways, taking a really difficult situation and making it bearable, bringing his kindness and his goodness into the mess, into the suffering. He makes himself known and available. That is his promise. That is his faithfulness. So with this definition of faithful in mind, not the definition of the world of everything going the way that I want it to, I want you to take a moment and reflect. I want you to write, if you're watching this live right now, I want you to write in the comments, if you are watching live, what ways did God prove himself faithful to you in this past year? And if you're watching this later, I would encourage you to pause, pull out your journal, even pull out your phone in the notes section and respond and reflect to this question. In what ways did God prove himself faithful to you in this past year? In 2020, the year of toilet paper shortages and fires and mask wars and too much Zoom and Black Lives Matter and canceled vacations, and I ask you again, in what ways did God prove himself faithful to you in this past year? There's a song that one of my dear friends wrote. She's a worship pastor in California. And the song is called No Other Love. And there's this line that I keep thinking of. It says, faithful God, you never leave. Faithful God, you always finish what you started in me. That is the faithfulness we are talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. There is a really great benefit of this last year. I think for most people, there is a slower pace of life, unless maybe you were a teacher or a toilet paper factory worker or a nurse. There has been for many of us a slower pace of life, and I've noticed that our pace of life is often the biggest deterrent from recognizing God's faithfulness. We're so busy moving into the next thing, looking at what's in front of us. We're so focused on powering through or looking ahead that we miss what has already been accomplished. We miss what God provided. We miss how he revealed himself. We miss sacred moments. Look at Simeon. I'd like to think that his pace of life was sustainable and flexible. It certainly was interruptible. He's so aware of the Spirit of God that he is guided into the temple on a day that may have just seemed like any other day. And he intersects with God's promise, with God's faithfulness. If you are struggling to see how God has been faithful to you this past year, this New Year's holiday is just a few days away, and it would be the perfect time to slow down and curate intentional space to reflect and ask him, where were you faithful? I know for our family, this year started out extremely difficult. Our family had incident after incident happen, from dreams being crushed to house break-ins to health scares. And that was all before COVID. That was all before March even hit. But in each of those scenarios, it wasn't long before we saw the faithfulness of God. So this is the question to chew on this week. In what ways did God prove himself faithful to you? And for some, like I said, this is going to be easy. And for others, this may be more challenging. But I guarantee you that God has been true and loyal to every single one of us this year. So the second question that I want us to consider today is, in what ways this past year did you prove myself faithful to him? The story of Simeon displays faithfulness in two ways: God making good on his promise to Simeon, and Simeon living faithful to God as he waits for the fulfillment. The Bible says this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to what God would do. So looking back on 2020, how would you say your faithfulness to God was? Lackluster? I like the idea of maybe needing improvement. Average? Exemplary? See, when we are in relationship with God, when it's a true relationship and not about religion, it's a two-way street. It's not just about receiving, but a giving in return. We strive to live our lives like Mary, the mother of God, open to God's wild plans and messy scenarios, ready to respond as she did in Luke 1, saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything come to pass as you said, may it be." We don't just receive, we respond in turn with trust, with loyalty, with faith. So as we look into 2021, just a few days from 2021, with great anticipation. In fact, I would bet that this is likely the most universally anticipated year on record. If it wasn't for COVID, I think there would be the biggest New Year's Eve bash we would ever see. How will I be more like the characters we've been celebrating this Advent, like Simeon, like Mary, like Jesus, like Elizabeth? How might we proclaim the faithfulness of God in all things? How might we wait well? Because that is really what anticipation is, the looking forward to something that has yet to happen, waiting with hope and strength for God to display his faithfulness. Are we willing to pray bold prayers as we look into 2021 to ask God to display his faithfulness this year? Can we set aside maybe our fears of being disappointed or vulnerable, or doubting that he really cares, or the feeling of selfishness or being small-minded? Don't let those things get in the way of praying bold prayers, asking God to display his faithfulness. He wants to show you that he is faithful. So if you are taking notes, now is a great time for you to fill in the blank. And this is really the fill in the blank I want you to do. It's, God, please prove yourself faithful in, and fill in the blank. God, as we look into 2021, would you please prove yourself faithful in, and fill in the blank? And the next would be, God, help me to be more faithful in, And you fill in the blank. So you're asking God to prove himself faithful to you in an area, and you are responding to God saying, God, help me to prove faithful to you in this area. Just as Simeon did, may we be faithful followers. May we look back on this year of 2020, and may we anticipate into 2021 with great hope, because we know that our God is a God that fulfills promises. He is faithful. Would you join me in praying over 2021? God, we are trusting you as we are on the verge of a new year, of a year full of many more experiences that we couldn't have even expected, a year full of so many unknowns. Lord, and after experiencing this year, I think as a collective humanity, we are tired, we are weary, and we are groaning for you, Holy Spirit, to come in and to continue to reveal yourself faithful and true in the midst of difficulties. God, I thank you that we are not alone, that we can look into what is ahead, knowing that you will always be with us. God, we thank you for the ways that you proved yourself faithful time and time and time again to us this past year. And God, we pray that you would help us to be even more faithful followers in the years to come. God, we lay down our pride, our fear at your feet. And we pray, Jesus, come. Come into our lives, come into our homes, come into our families. And may this next year be that much greater in our response of faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen.